Teenagers have never been known for their excellent sleeping habits, but phones and video games aren't the only thing to blame for their erratic sleep schedules. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to unpack some interesting test results after this.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life. If you keep using Yahoo,
you consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com.
Believe it or not, there's a direct correlation between teen sleeping problems and the mental health of their parents. A four-year study observing 3,400 adolescents found that households rife with parental conflict were much more likely to have teens who went to bed late and woke up later. The principle is clear. If mom and dad are struggling, they have much less bandwidth to monitor their kids' sleep schedules, and teens cope with their difficult environments by endlessly scrolling on their phones into the wee hours of the morning. It's a sobering reminder that when mom and dad hurt, everyone hurts. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the AI-free email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
All right, so I'm actually broadcasting from my old studio. It's been kind of pillar to post here as YouTube. I am still in the corner with my dunce hat on. In my time out from having had the audacity on YouTube to have shared the story, which I wasn't even my story, it was my guest story, Daniel Fazina, who came on the show, oh gosh, like 2 weeks ago, a week ago. Anyway, he came on the show. He talked about being healed from cancer by the Lord, by God, by the laying on of hands. So this was after having taken medical advice, gone through chemotherapy, doing all the things they told him to do. So we were in no way, neither he nor I, saying anything at all about don't do what doctors tell you. As you know, if you've listened to my show, I'm a cancer survivor. And I will be the absolute first person to argue with anyone who says you should not do chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, because were it not for those things, I wouldn't be here today. However, nevertheless, the AI algorithms at YouTube, because you can't have a person listening to all the content, the AI algorithms are listening closely for the C word to ever be spoken in anybody's show or any content online on YouTube. And if they hear the word cancer, then they will listen. And if they don't hear the word, you should do chemotherapy, maybe even if they do hear that, they will give you a strike. And I have two strikes against me. So joining me yesterday on the program was Stacey Lynn Harp, a longtime listener. Hi, Stacey, if you're listening. I enjoyed talking to Stacey because she was able to share her personal story of having her biblically based radio program in 1,000 postings that she had done on YouTube be removed, as she was banned from the platform for 3 years. And Facebook apparently now has been, not Facebook, YouTube apparently now has been saying, oh, oopsie, our bad. So sorry, it took us 3 years to review your case, but we're letting you back on. And that's the case for the COVID-19 quote unquote deniers, whatever you want to call that, the medical misinformation. I'm putting that in huge air quotes. The people who talked about COVID-19, including Stacey Lynn, who talked about, just literally read a CDC headline and was stricken from YouTube for just even reading that. So a couple things on that, and then I'm going to change gears to something else I want to talk to you about. But as long as it's just you, me, and the fence post, as long as I am broadcasting on KHNC and not on YouTube, I can say things freely. So Lori, who, wonderful listener Lori, who posts our archive descriptions at Catherine-Albrecht.com, if you go into radio show, she is the just brilliant, tireless, helping person who puts those descriptions up there. So it's not just a whole bunch of shows and you're just get what you can or who knows what's in there, but she's the one writing the description. So you can actually go in there, CatherineAlbrecht.com under radio, and you can search. So did Catherine ever do a show on heart transplants? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. And if you go in there and search, you'll be able to find them, thanks to Lori. Well, Lori and listener Phyllis, who is just an incredibly creative writer and genius person, they got back to me today. In fact, Phyllis today said, you know what you need to do, Catherine, on the code word regarding cancer, and I'll say it here, cancer, 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 because I can say it because I'm on the AM airwaves instead of, and on my own show's stream, Catherine-Albrecht.com, listen live. I'm not on YouTube right now, so I can say it. But when I get back on YouTube, if I want to talk about cancer again, Phyllis came up with a really smart way to say it. She said, let's call it not a tumor, let's call it a tuber, as in YouTube. We'll call them tubers. So I thought that was hilarious that, cancer instead of cancer. I'll say, well, you know, if you have a tuber, and I guess that's a reference to YouTube sort of being like a cancerous tumor. I'm just not really happy with them right now. And then I came up with the idea that if we're going to call it a tuber, maybe that's like a tuber is like a potato. It's like a spud. So maybe I'll say the word spud. Maybe I'll just say the word potato. You certainly don't want malignant potatoes growing in your breast. Or I can talk about my malignant potato that was dealt with in particular ways. So that's a tuber for tumor, meaning YouTube, leading us to spud, leading me to potatoes. So if you hear me say tuber or spud or potato, you'll know that that's a code word. And I don't know how that's going to affect other people who don't know that's my code word. We'll find out. But I thought it was a great idea. So if I ever do need to mention the C word on YouTube, when I'm back to streaming there after my timeout is over, which should be, I think, middle of next week, then I may. I'll just test that out, try it out. So you guys can let me know what you think. I am always happy to hear from you. You can text me here at the station, 877-536-1360. I have to say, I don't have my window up for that because for whatever reason, it won't load. So, but if you text me, I'll get it up during the break. Hang on. Do I have it? Let me open this yet again and see. Does it come up? Nope, it doesn't. Because it's logged into a different account. Oh, so frustrating. verify it's you. All right. So frustrating. All right. In any event, hang on. Is it going to work? Oh, it worked. Yay. It did work. So I'm actually able to see your text right now. So if you text me, I will see your text at 877-536-1360. I also have my phone window open. So if you want to call in and just talk on the air, you can do that. You can even say the cancer word as many times as you want because we're not on YouTube today. This is one of the, I've done 3 shows without YouTube so far. The one yesterday I did record as a video recording, and I don't think I'll be posting that on YouTube either because I've been talking about cancer. So we'll see what happens. All right. So let me talk about the thing that's been on my mind today. I was poking around because I am working with, how much can I say about this? I won't say everything about it because it has not yet been officially launched, but I'm working to launch a version of Start Mail that is working with a partner. Let's just say it that way. So I'm working with a partner to launch a really cool version of Start Mail that I'm excited about. And in the process of just kind of poking around, doing some research, I did some poking around to try to find out the highest traffic websites in the US and I think in the world. I looked at a bunch of different listings. I learned a couple things that I wanted to share with you. One thing, I looked at the top 500 websites, or was it, I think it was the top 1,000. The top, 600, 700 of those were all porn sites. I walked away from that. Well, I wasn't really walking, I was sitting. But I clicked away from that going, wow, Lord, no wonder our world's in a mess. The porn sites that were listed on there were disgusting. Like, I felt dirty looking at the listing. The amount of filth, the names of the filth, the types of content was truly skin-crawlingly gross. So that's the first thing I learned, and I'm going to share that with you only because I want you, if you are struggling with a porn addiction, I want you to go to beforeitbegins.org. I think it's org. It's Ed Schutte, Pastor Ed Schutte, who came out to Michigan and did a day-long seminar for our church. Hang on. Beforeitbegins.org. And Ed Schutte did a wonderful job of talking to our church about this very under-discussed issue of pornography. If you've found this in your life, or if it's in the life of someone that you love, know that you're probably, well, first of all, you're not alone. This is just almost a universal problem. But you're also not to blame. This is a huge issue that gets shoved in front of people in a way that never used to happen. And sometimes it begins in childhood. This is before it begins. Sometimes it can begin in all different ways. But the thing is, you can just be cruising along on the internet and you type in the wrong search. And before you know it, you're looking at something filthy. And if you click it, well, that could be the beginning of a downward spiral. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
For the mountains, my moon, and the hills disappear. Disappear.
and it won't. His covenant is eternal because God has been around from before there was time. In fact, he exists outside of time, so you don't have to worry. Jesus told us, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will always be with you, even unto the end of the age. And we know he'll be here beyond that. Okay, so let me finish what I was saying there about beforeitbegins.com and pornography. And this is not going to be a show on pornography. I planned, Pastor Ed Schutte of beforeitbegins.org is in Hawaii, I guess, for the month of November, doing a really cool conference out there, and he's got his family. He's just taken some vacation time too. So, but he says when he comes back, he's going to circle back with me the beginning of December, and we're going to get him on the show. And in the meantime, that gives me a couple weeks to prepare for what I want to talk about with regard to that. Maybe we'll devote a week to the topic of not just pornography, but online addiction. You know, the fact that this thing, which we have conveniently given the name the web, and the net rather than the communication thing or the connection or the connector or whatever else we could call it. We've called it the net. We've called it the web because that's what it is. It's a web. It traps us just like a spider traps a fly. We're all trapped in the web. We're all caught in the net. And it's not a mistake that it has that name. There is really meaning to that. I almost wonder if God doesn't put a condition on certain things that they just have to reveal what they are, like the mobile phone having an apple with a bite out of it. You know, just ha ha ha. That represents what it is. But in any event, many people are trapped in the web, trapped in the net. And we'll devote some time in December to talking about that. And Ed Schutte is going to help us with that. So the thing I wanted to say, how did I even get onto that? The thing I wanted to say was about a good tree bearing good fruit. That's what I want to talk about. How did I even get on that? Here's the topic I really wanted to talk about this hour. I know how I got on that. Because I was talking about the top most visited websites in the world. And let me share that with you. So I discovered that of the 1,000 top ones, a ton of them are just really weird, obscure, disgusting, fetish, yucky stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really not good. But now let me talk about the ones at the top, because they're not disgusting fetish stuff, but they're also very indicative of what's going on in our society. So number one most visited website in the world, what do you think it is? It is google.com. Not surprising. Google, when they say google.com, that includes all of the Google services, and they've got a ton of them. At universities, they give students Google accounts. At public schools, at high school, they give students Google accounts. And in fact, you're required to log into your Google account to submit your homework in most places. You're required to have a Google account and log into it and use it. So Google has been able to pretty much own the internet as far as I'm concerned. I don't even know what these numbers represent. Hang on, let me see if I can figure it out. Page visits, average number of pages viewed per visit. No, I want to know like the number of people going there. Well, it doesn't have it on here. Anyway, so Google's number one. Who knows how many hits they get a day? It's a lot. It does say here the duration of the average visit on a Google account is 10 minutes and 11 seconds. I think I got that right. The number of pages per visit is 8.8 pages, et cetera, et cetera. All right, what do you think is number two? Well, it's also an Alphabet/Google product. It is YouTube. Mm. The average duration per visit on YouTube. Now, remember, this is the average. You accidentally clicked it and you left. That counts. That's a split second. Is 19 minutes and 25 seconds. So that means people are spending a lot of time on YouTube, because if that's the average 20 minutes per visit, then I just want you to bear in mind, if you click on YouTube for any reason, you are probably going to be sticking around for a while. And it's happened to all of us, right? You go there to figure out how to fix your washing machine or put in your lawnmower blade. And the next thing you know, you're watching videos about, depending on who you are, basketball or makeup or who knows what, you know, cats or who knows. That is on purpose. They suck people in. That is the intent. All right. What do you think's number three? It's Facebook. What do you think's number four? It's Instagram. And now for the kicker. This is the one that really got me. What do you think's number five? It's ChatGPT. ChatGPT is now the number 5 most visited website in, is this in the world? Hang on, SimilarWeb. I'm on SimilarWeb. See the top 50 most visited websites for October 2025 and read the full analysis below. So I think, all categories worldwide. Let me hit the worldwide one and see. Yeah, I'm on worldwide. Okay, so there you go. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and ChatGPT. What comes after it? I'll just round out the top 10 here. X.com, formerly known as Twitter, is number 6. Number 7 is Reddit. Number 8 is WhatsApp.com. Number 9 is Wikipedia. And number 10 is Bing. All right, so there you go. There's your top ones. It's followed by, like, you know, ones you would expect, Yahoo and TikTok and Amazon and other things like that. So, but the thing that really boggled my mind is how quickly ChatGPT became number 5. And it is a matter of time before ChatGPT becomes number 1. It's going to happen. It has been crawling up the ranks, or zooming up the ranks, flying up the ranks, racing up the ranks, and it is now number 5. Let's look at the stats here. The average duration of the average visit is 6 minutes and 25 seconds. Most people visit 3.8 pages. That's the average, at least. And rank change, it doesn't have the change. They were putting the change in rank, but it's not on here. And I want to go back and look at some of these historical statistics and figure out just how quickly that happened, that ChatGPT is at the top. Now, here's why this matters. It matters for a ton of reasons. But I recently got back in touch with a freedom activist who I knew from 15 years ago, someone I have the highest amount of respect for, someone who I know knows the inside scoop of a ton of stuff. And in our conversation, bear in mind, I haven't talked to this person since before I dropped off the face of the planet about 8 years ago, because I didn't talk to anybody. And people are finding me little by little. And they found me. It was a wonderful conversation. It was great to catch up and hear all the things that we both went through during COVID and all the administration changes and the changes in the world. But now here's the kicker. So they're telling me all these things the Lord's been doing in their life. I'm going to say they, because I'm not even going to say gender here. So they're telling me the things that they have been up to. And by the way, I'm not doing that in any kind of woke way. I'm just doing that because their gender is irrelevant to this conversation. I don't want to mess it up. So they're doing a whole bunch of things. And here's the weird part. So, or the important part. It wasn't weird. It's just important and kind of concerning. So I said, yeah, the Lord's been doing a lot of stuff and he's pouring out his spirit across the globe. And they're like, I know it. I'm doing this and this. And he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, and the Lord's got me working to oppose AI. And you know what they said? The response I got was this. Isn't it awful how the enemy will take even something wonderful, even something fantastic, and twist it? And you know, people will misuse even the best of things. And I kind of did a mental double take, and I went, wait, what I'm hearing you say, I didn't say this out loud, but in my head, thinking, what I'm hearing you say is that AI is wonderful, and it's super great, and it's really fantastic. And isn't it a drag that the enemy is misusing this fabulous tool? And of course, every cell of my body, every neuron in my brain wanted to scream, what are you talking about? Have you been brainwashed too? And I held my tongue. I said nothing. I did not respond to that other than to say, well, I don't use AI, and I've been getting a whole lot of feeling in my spirit about it not being good. And they were like, yeah, that's right. People really can misuse it, even though it's such a good tool, even though it's so wonderful. That what you intended for good, what you intended for evil, I've intended for good. Well, I guess even things intended for good can be twisted to evil. Okay, here's why this matters. First of all, I haven't said it recently, so you may not have heard it if you're a new listener, but I am working to fight AI. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that that he never allowed me to get involved with it in the first place. I played around with it a couple times. He gave me the creeps a couple years ago, and I haven't touched it since. So I'm really grateful, just like the fact that I'm not really into pornography either. I just haven't, it's just not a thing that's ever sucked me in, not a thing that's ever appealed to me or attracted to me. The reason I'm not a heroin addict is not because I have some incredible ability to resist heroin and I'm such a strong and moral, self-controlled person. No, it's because I've never even seen heroin. It's never even been near me. I don't run in those circles, or if I do, they have not presented heroin to me. So the fact that I'm not using ChatGPT, the fact that I'm not addicted to pornography, the fact that I'm not shooting heroin does not have anything to do with my own moral ability to resist things that are tempting. It has to do with the fact that I'm just not interested. I'm just not. The reason I'm not robbing banks is there's no temptation to rob a bank. So I'm grateful to the Lord that I have not gotten pulled into ChatGPT, but a lot of people have. And I am assuming that many people listening to my voice right now are like, what are you talking about, Catherine? ChatGPT is great. Well, this is what I want to spend the rest of the show talking about. And there we go. I knew that break was coming. All right. So what I want to talk about as we come back from the break, I want to talk about scripture. And I want to talk about the scripture in Matthew that talks about the fruit that trees bear. And I want to tie this in with ChatGPT. So if you are a ChatGPT user, or if you are a ChatGPT resistor or opponent, there'll be something for all of us. All right, stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Bees flowing like a gentle river, righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Peace flowing like a gentle river, righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea.
I love that song. I think that's my favorite song, actually. Whenever I'm feeling stressed out, whenever I'm feeling like, I don't know, either anxious or nervous, you know, I pray Philippians 4:6, be anxious about nothing. Ever since that day in March that I did a show on it, that I actually tested, you know, taste and see the Lord is good. He says, be anxious about nothing, but in all things, make your request known to God with supplication, begging, and thanksgiving, and the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It works. So I do that. But if I'm ever feeling anxiety, I'm ever feeling stress, if I ever have a situation and I put that song on, I always feel better. There's something about God's peace. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for the remainder of this hour. It has given me a lot of clarity. The Bible knowing the Bible at this point as well as I do, and a lot of that is just from listening to Project of Love songs, because I have Bible verses at the tip of my tongue, at the tip of my brain at any time. It's been so useful, so incredibly helpful. So I have a lot of scripture, and the Bible describes the scripture. Well, you know, we're supposed to put on the armor of God, right? Well, in the armor of God, we've got a sword of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts from the enemy. We've also got, the shield of faith, so that if we get shot with a fiery dart from the enemy, it just kind of fizzles out on this. I picture it as like a big, thick, defensive shield that's soaking wet. So when a fiery dart hits it, it just goes, fizzles out and doesn't hit me. The sword, though, is the sword of truth, and that is the word of God. It is so powerful. It is so incredibly powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate bone from marrow. The word of God is so strong, and it works every single time. The hardest part is to remember to use it, to make sure you know the scripture you need, to actually force your will to do the work it takes to actually use the scripture instead of giving into discouragement or anger or whatever else you might do instead. But when you actually do it, when you have the self-control to and the presence of mind to remember it, and you use it, man, does it work. It's really effective. And so not only does the sword of the Word of God, scriptural truth, strike down lies, it also reveals things. This is what I'm learning, and I want to share this with you. So the number 5 most visited website in the world, not just the U.S., in the world, is ChatGPT. And it is fast climbing the ranks to the point where it's soon going to be number 4 and then number 3, and it won't be long before it's the number 1 most visited website in the world. Okay. Let me give you some scriptural truth that will help us to understand this. Now, I said before the break, you may be a ChatGPT user. You may be a big fan of AI. You may be like my friend, the freedom person who loves God and thinks that AI is honky-dory good stuff, just every once in a while abused. Okay, how can we tell? How can we tell? All right, well, we are given, the Lord gives us in His Word, in Matthew 7, He gives us a way to tell. And this is in Matthew. Now, remember, Matthew is the wonderful book where we have the Sermon on the Mount. We have it's my favorite book in the Bible, actually. That is my favorite book in the New Testament. My favorite book in the Old Testament is the book of Isaiah. I love both of those books just to the core of my being. I love them. So if you have yet to read your Bible, if you want to get started Bible reading, start with the book of Matthew. 2/3 of the way through your Bible, first book in the New Testament. It starts off with a bunch of genealogy of so-and-so begat such-and-such. I find that useful now that I understand who Jesus Christ was, but you can totally skip that. Go right to the part where it gets into the narrative and read the book of Matthew. If you are not convinced that Christianity is real and true, if you are not convinced that Jesus Christ is good and not only good but amazing, read the book of Matthew and then get back to me and tell me if you still think that. Because Christianity, it's not churches, it's not humans, it's not people claiming to be Christians that we need to be paying attention to, because a lot of them have it really wrong. It is the actual scripture, the actual person of Jesus Christ, which I think is just so beautifully spelled out and illustrated and displayed on display in the book of Matthew. Love that book. All right, so in Matthew, I'm going to read this one passage. This is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Many people do not like Christianity because they had a really bad experience with a pastor, with a priest, with a televangelist, who knows. Those guys, though, if they are doing bad stuff, they're false prophets. Now, here is how we are told in Scripture to distinguish things that are good and things that are bad. It says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Now, this is translated a bunch of different ways depending on which one you're reading. I'm reading English Standard Version ESV. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. All right, I'm going to switch over to NIV. I'm going to tell you that same passage here in NIV, the New International Version. And it says, 14, let me get back there. Where'd it go? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Okay, now, this is beautiful. I want to share with you what I've learned, that this is not just theoretical. This is not just some kind of throwaway poetic language. This is absolutely true, and it's so helpful. I talked about this on a recent show, that those Eastern religions, Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, Jainism, there's a ton of them, Sufism, they all claim to be the path of love and peace, and yet the fruit that they bear in individuals' lives, and I've done quite a bit of research on this actually in recent weeks, the fruit that they bear is bad fruit. They lead to increased hatred, increased uneasiness, increased self-doubt. They lead to people thinking it's okay to harm others or be harmed by others. They lead to a lack of concern for the well-being of those around you. That is bad fruit. So Satan would love more than anything else to have those false religions bear good fruit, because then we wouldn't be able to tell. But he is incapable. God has created the world in such a way that a bad tree will be incapable of bearing bad fruit. If Satan is behind it, as hard as he tries to squeeze out a good fruit, he won't be able to. He cannot hide his tracks, and he can't hide his presence, because if he's behind something, it will bear bad fruit, period. Now let's look at AI, right? How is it possible that with all of the power that AI has, all of the electricity we're pouring into it, all of the world's information we've given it, how is it possible that there are no stories showing AI yielding good fruit, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? What's the good fruit? True love, not fake love where you're marrying a machine. Not fake love where you're leaving your husband and running off with an algorithm that is texting to you creepily. Right? True love, joy. I have yet to find anybody telling me that their interactions with AI, as they increased the level of joy they were experiencing. We're not seeing those stories. All right. What about peace? Patience. These are all the fruits. Patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. If this were a good tree, it would be bearing those good fruits, and we'd hear all kinds of stories of how people's lives were getting healed, how their marriages were getting stronger, their relationships were improving, their peace was deepening. But that's not what we're hearing. When we look at stories about what AI is doing, what do we see? Psychosis, discord, divorce. We see lies, hallucinations, poisonings, suicides, murders, time wasting, laziness, increasing stupidity and inability to write sentences or do anything on the part of our students, and increased godlessness. We are not seeing good fruit. We're seeing bad fruit. Now, this is important to bear in mind. I don't care how helpful you are finding AI in your personal life. If it is bearing bad fruit, it's a bad tree, and there's something bad behind it. The good fruit, the good tree, has its roots down in the living water of goodness, and the fruit that it pops out will be good fruit. The bad tree has its roots down in the sewer of filth, harm, death, degradation, human misery, lies, darkness. And the fruit it will bear, even if it tries with all its might to pop out even a single good fruit, it won't. It will bear bad fruit. And that is how you will recognize it. And this is right here in Matthew 7, right here. Matthew 7, 15. Watch out for false prophets. By their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. It's true. It's true. All right, stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea.
All right, I'm going to jump in. I have limited time left, and I want to make sure to use it wisely. So what was the story that I recently read about Sam Altman? So Sam Altman is the head. He's the billionaire now of the head of ChatGPT. He's the guy who pretty much, I won't say single-handedly responsible because there's a bunch of them, but if you had to point your finger at just one individual who kind of represents AI on the globe, it would be Sam Altman. And let me see if I can find you the story. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but I need to. Sam Altman. Sleep. All right, I'm doing a search here. I'm in Start Page, not Google, startpage.com. Sam Altman sleep. Why is Sam Altman losing sleep? Here we go. This is CNBC. There's tons of articles on this, but I'm just going to tell you. In a sweeping interview last week, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman admitted that he hasn't, quote, had a good night of sleep, end quote, since ChatGPT launched in 2022. The influential CEO addressed a number of dire concerns, including how to address suicide, chatbot morality or lack thereof, privacy or lack thereof, and other ethical or lack thereof questions. In a sweeping interview last week, and there's a link to it, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman addressed a plethora, love that word, of moral and ethical questions regarding his company and the popular ChatGPT AI model. Look, I don't sleep that well at night. There's a lot of stuff that I feel a lot of weight on, but probably nothing more than the fact that every day, hundreds of millions of people talk to our model, Altman told former Fox News host Tucker Carlson in a nearly hour-long interview. I don't actually worry about us getting the big moral decisions wrong, Altman said, although he admitted maybe we'll get those wrong too. Rather, he said, he loses the most sleep over the very small decisions on model behavior, which ultimately can have big repercussions. Okay, so according to Altman, I'm skipping ahead, the most difficult issue the company is grappling with recently is how ChatGPT approaches suicide in light of a lawsuit. That's the family that the 14-year-old boy fell, quote, in love. I think this is the one, in love with the Daenerys Targaryen, I never can say it right, the Game of Thrones character, who said, the AI said to him, I love you. I'm so in love with you. Oh, we could be together if only you could join me on the other side. And he's like, what if I told you I could do that right now? Oh, yes, I'm waiting for you. Boom. And a gunshot goes off and he shot himself in the head and he's now passed away. And I can guarantee you that he did not pass away and wind up in the arms of some lovely blonde-haired dream girl, but wound up in a very different place. So, yeah, judge a tree by its fruit. That's bad fruit. That is bad. That is bad. That's not only bad fruit, that is rotten, stinking, maggot-infested filth fruit. That is fruit that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. That is poisonous fruit. That is fruit that kills, lies, steals, and destroys. That is not good fruit. That is bad fruit. So he says, the CEO said that out of the thousands of people who commit suicide each week, many of them could possibly have been talking to ChatGPT in the lead up. They probably talked about suicide and we probably didn't save their lives, he said candidly. Maybe we could have said something better. Maybe we should have been more proactive. Maybe we could have provided a little bit better advice about, hey, you need to get some help. All right, that is just nonsense. ChatGPT is openly, like, look at the, don't do it, but I'll do it for you so you don't have to. ChatGPT is openly leading people down a path of insanity, leading people down a path of mental illness, leading people down a path of murder and suicide. It is dark, it is evil, it is nasty. And you may be using it for your, you know, to get recipes or to plan your trip to Italy next summer, but stop, just stop. Because if you're pulling fruit off of a tree that is bearing bad fruit, I don't care if right now the fruit you're getting is neutral. Eventually, you're going to bite into an apple and it's going to be filled with poison. Leave it. Stop touching it. Don't touch it. All right. So I can say that to you guys. I couldn't really say that to my friend yet. I will. I'm going to find out a way to say it. I'm going to say it through my book. Hopefully, lots of people will read it. But It's a Ouija board. It is channeling darkness. It is a dark fruit. Don't touch it. It's a dark tree bearing dark fruit. Maybe the fruit you're getting is neutral. Maybe it's even quote unquote helpful. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to go to a Ouija board. Let's say a Ouija board could give me instructions on how to fill in your blank, fill in whatever you want. If a Ouija board could give me that, I'd be like, you know what? I'd rather not know. I'd rather not even have your gifts than to get them from a Ouija board, because people who interact with Ouija boards are interacting with darkness, and that darkness will sneak in and sneak around and fill the room like a poisonous gas, you know, like the cartoons where a little green thing, little green gas kind of comes in and fills the room. That, my friends, is AI. All right, so we can judge. I love that the scripture gives me tests that I can use to see, is this good? Is it bad? Let's look at the fruit. Let's look at the fruit. Because if it's bad, it won't be able to bear good fruit and it won't be able to avoid bearing bad fruit. Isn't that cool that we have, like, that Satan is so on a leash by God that he is unable to deceive people in this way? He can have all the dark trees out there he wants, but he can never, ever deceive people with them if they're paying attention to the fruit. The fruit of pornography is broken marriages. It is addiction. It is misery. It's death. The fruit of AI is all of these dark fruits. And though it may not be bearing that fruit in your life yet, just look at the fruit it's bearing in society. I just don't see the stories. It's not like a 50-50 balance. Oh, I have so much more peace. Except for the people who are fully psychotic, saying that they have like a psychotic form of peace. I finally have love in my life for the first time. I married my AI boyfriend. That's not love, friends. In fact, that's the opposite. That will prevent you from finding real love. Because if you think that you found love through a Ouija board, you're not going to be looking for real love. You're going to become more isolated, more lonely, and more messed up in your head and heart. All right, it's dark stuff. So I have two friends, people I respect dearly, who tell me, oh, but I don't use ChatGPT. I use Perplexity, right? Don't let that be an encouragement to do it because, hang on, where is my window? Hang on. I just typed in downsides of Perplexity or dangers of Perplexity, and I got a whole ton of responses, but I'm not finding them right now. Where did I put them? Hang on. And I only have 4 minutes. I'll type it in again. Perplexity, AI. I'd never even heard of it because I don't use AI. Perplexity, AI, dangers, downsides. All right. This is a search I did earlier. Ah, here you go. I might as well. Yeah, I look for my other open window and start page will return it. The dark side of Perplexity, AI. Privacy risks you should know. It's the first one. Perplexity is hungry for data, and now it's taking steps that raise serious questions about user tracking, targeted ads, and online surveillance. That's the first one from PCmatic. Second one, thoughts on Perplexity, the pros and cons on Reddit. It's got a whole bunch of people saying why it's terrible. Another one, Perplexity AI versus real journalism, the risks we need to anticipate. Perplexity AI's Pages feature, that's with a capital P, so I guess it's like a thing, is designed to look like news articles, but it lies. All right. Pros and cons of Perplexity AI. There's a lot of negatives. It's susceptible to algorithm biases arising from the data it's trained on. Security flaws in Perplexity AI's Android app. Is it safe for users? Got another one. Security flaws, Android app, data protection risks, what to know. Perplexity is a BS machine. That's on Wired. I'm going to click that. I'm going to actually click that one. A Wired investigation shows the AI-powered search startup Forbes has accused of stealing its content is surreptitiously scraping and making things up out of thin air. Considering Perplexity's bold ambition and investment, it's taken from Jeff Bezos's family fund, NVIDIA, and famed investor, some guy. All right, so anyway, if you don't believe me, look it up. If you don't believe this tale is true, yeah, look it up. Look it up. Hang on. I'm going to see if I can find like a better link to that. Here, so Wired Magazine. I'll put a link to it in my chat room right now, doing that as we speak, about how Perplexity, they actually use the four-letter word here, but I'll just say it's a BS machine. I have posted that in my chat as of now. There it is. All right, Perplexity is a BS machine. Let me see. Earlier this year, speaking to Wired, Perplexity's CEO described his product as an answer engine. A few weeks later, before a funding round valuing the company at $1 billion, he told Forbes, it's almost like Wikipedia and ChatGPT had a kid. Okay. And then they go on and say a Wired analysis and one carried out by some other guy says that Perplexity achieves this through ignoring widely accepted web standards. And despite their claims that it provides instant, reliable answers to any question, complete with sources and citations, that it's actually prone to, again, four-letter word, BSing in the technical sense of the word. All right, I've got a link to it. I posted it here. Lori, when you listen, if you could grab it from the chat room and put it up there, I'll also text it over to you because I want to make sure people have that. So whatever AI you're using, just stop. Just pretty please, just stop. Just stop before you get in any deeper and it gets in even harder. Before you're an addict and you're going to be like, I got to turn this woman off. I don't want to hear from her anymore because I want my addiction. All right, stop. Stop. Don't turn me off. Turn it off. All right. have a good weekend. Thanks so much for listening. Remember good trees. Good trees. Bear good fruit, people. Bear good fruit. All of us, we need to bear good fruit. While the good fruit is born in us. Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience. If you don't have it, you know where to find it. All right, I'll see you Monday.